Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? A Vikings draft. No, we did not come away with 17 picks, 12 of those in the seventh round. We did not even get a seventh rounder. I'm sure Ricky is still pissed off about that. But anyway, you know, we did a preview show. Now is the post show. It's almost like a post fight show. How did the Vikings do? We're not going to sit here and grade every single guy, yada, yada, yada. But we are going to kind of detail our way through some of these picks. Some of them stand out as like, oh, I like that guy. Some of them you go, huh, that's a development guy. That there's some depth there. Obviously, the first round has a lot of discussion and debate on Vikings Twitter. Should we have drafted a quarterback? Did we do the right thing with Darisaw? You know, actually trading back. We definitely got bigger on the offensive line with both of the offensive linemen that we got within the first three rounds. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff is going to be decided in the coming years. As we know, the quarterback we drafted early in the third is another discussion point. You know, he's the type of guy that probably does need 2 years to develop if he's ever going to, you know, become a starter. I think it's what they say, 20% of quarterbacks drafted in the third actually become starters more than just, you know, Band-Aid work or whatever. So if you're going to get him there, I guess having 2 years is a good spot. But there's obviously debate about that, you know, where it seems like we got a lot of defensive ends. We may have our rush three technique potentially as well in the sixth round. So we're going to break it all down here. We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, there's other stuff to talk about in Green Bay. You know, last year, it seemed like I'm sure he's mad because they didn't pick Bolt Jefferson or pick somebody, and they picked a quarterback. Green Bay did. But obviously, it does seem like there is a lot of smoke in that fire in Green Bay. So that's a fun segment. We got a little audio from RG3. And then we'll talk about maybe some possible free agents, maybe not by name per se, but position depth and all that. How do we feel coming out of the draft in general? If this is your first time listening to this here Vikings podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. However, you can find it in a lot of different places. First of all, you don't have to listen to it on Blog Talk at Ropeadope Radio, download the show or listen in the browser. You can find it pretty much anywhere. You can find it under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, and a variety of other places. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, baseball, boxing, basketball, everything in between. And several months ago, Aaron started a page here called Living in Loserville at Spricker. You know, he did two mock drafts there. There's a lot of different stuff that's there, not just sports-oriented and Vikings and Timberwolves and Gophers. There's some other stuff, too, of his personal podcast. So that's Living in Loserville at Spricker. One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. And of course, the cloud DVR is available. And if you sign up for the choice package, that gives you a free year of HBO Max. And for a limited time, you better get in there. NBA League Pass Premium for the rest of the season. There's still a few weeks. All right. That's AT&T TV, by the way, just to clean that up. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, and see how he's doing. Obviously, the last time we spoke, it was a little breezy, on and off rain, kind of mediocre weather. And as things change quickly in Minnesota, a couple days later, it's in the 60s, then it's 70. And on Saturday, it hit 86 degrees. Temperatures falling a little bit now, of course. But how are you doing, kind sir?
I am great at the moment, and thanks for mentioning the Living in Loserville Spricker page. I am going to kick off a new show called It's Just Sports in the next probably week. It's going to be like a mixed bag of sports, some national, some local, but I think we'll focus mostly on local stuff. But look out for that on the Living in Loserville Spricker page. And this draft, Chris, I mean, everything seems to be rosy in Viking land. Everybody went to imright.com and figured out that this was the best draft that ever was and ever will be. I don't want to bring a dark cloud on it, but maybe we can get a little perspective as we go through this draft show.
Yeah. Well, it matters where you go, you know, because on Vikings Twitter, we messed up with this, we messed up with that. It's funny how you get a little in between or a little on far sides, on both sides. It's kind of like politics. And some folks are just kind of in the middle, knowing they didn't watch every all 22 play snap, knowing that this is not what they do, year round per se, and thinking, well, we're all going to find out in like 2 or 3 years. And sometimes it can matter where you even go, especially for like a quarterback or some position like that, especially quarterback though. And just the fit. A lot of times it can be fit as well. I think it's right around half the first rounders just don't work out, and they're out of the league within 5 years. So lots to talk about, no doubt about it. We were all kind of wondering, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to move up? Are we going to stand put? Or are we going to move down? And we said in our draft preview show, the number one option that we'll probably do, the most likely scenario, is moving down, Aaron, and move down we did.
Yeah, we really did. I didn't, you know, I got, like, we were talking a little bit before we kicked off the show, and I was like, well, there's a bunch of things that were happening. A lot of offense went between 1 and 14, which left a really nice defensive board left, and I was kind of thinking they would go defense with that pick. And then they went and traded down, and, you know, they made it seem like they went down and got the guy that they wanted, and that's possible. No one can say it's impossible, but you know, I think they probably like someone else, and I'm not saying they settled with Darisaw, but you know, I think they were glad he was there at 23 where they picked him.
Who would that somebody else be, do you think? Like, to have them stay put at 14, because a lot of this will be one of the names we mentioned, the Vera Tucker out of USC, who can play guard, but well, tackle too, but guard as well. That one, you know, we could have just stand put right there. Who are some of the other names that you think that they may have wanted as far as stand and put? We know that they definitely tried, like several other teams, to go up and possibly get one of those top two tackles. The Slater's the most rumored anyway. Who are some of those names that you may have, that you may think that they actually wanted?
I think maybe they would have wanted a defensive end there, maybe a linebacker that they liked. But I really think what happened in is that they, I don't think they were too interested in Vera Tucker. Otherwise they would have stuck and took him. I think they probably thought they could go down to 23 and get someone like Tevin Jenkins. So I don't think they were willing to lose Darisaw, I think. And I think they got lucky that Darisaw was there. And then they had to choose between Jenkins and Darisaw. And I think they went obviously with Darisaw, but I think they were willing to go down a little bit, take Jenkins, and the Bears ended up actually taking him. But I think they're willing to give up Darisaw, which makes me a little bit dubious as to them actually landing Darisaw. Now, I think it's a great pick. I think he's a good player. I think he's got every bit of a chance to start right away and play for this team. But I don't think they were stuck to him as much as they want us to believe.
Well, there was rumors and some smoke about them having to maybe move back up to possibly get someone. Maybe it was him. Maybe it was somebody else. Obviously, a lot of people will talk about the two quarterbacks, Justin Fields, at what, 11, about 3 or 4 teams were rumored in that. Obviously, the Bears got him. They gave up a fair amount for him, but hey, we'll let the Bears do what they want to do. And of course, Mac Jones, who could have just stand put. I mean, that's what the Patriots did. They were rumored that they were looking at Fields or looking at moving up, and they, you know, stood pat, and they got Mac Jones. Obviously, we won't know for the next few years. I know you're really high on Mac Jones. Is that something that's kind of stick with you for a little bit until maybe you see Darisaw on the field, or maybe if Mac Jones doesn't turn out as high, or even in a sense Justin Fields too, because maybe he is the stud. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm really high on Mac Jones for a lot of different reasons. I think, you know, he's the most pro-ready quarterback at this point in time. I also think that he's played with great players. He knows how to go through reads and all those other things. I think he's been well-schooled sitting under Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. So I think I'm really high on him, and I think Belichick knew what he was doing and knew that we probably wouldn't take him, sat there and got the quarterback that I think he wanted. So we have to, you know, like you said, it's going to take a couple years unless Jones comes in and lights the world on fire, or he comes in and doesn't play well at all in 2022. But it has a potential of being one of those calendar of calamity moments where we go, well, why did we pass on Mac Jones? Now, if you're going to take a quarterback, which they did, and we'll get to that, and you got a chance to take one of the top five quarterbacks, although you do have a glaring need for a left tackle, but you're looking for, you know, a potential replacement for Kirk when he moves on finally, or someone that can come in and shake the pot. I just don't think that you pass on a number five quarterback ranked or however the draft board went down, especially one with talent. And, he, you know, he's perfect for this offense, for the Kubiak type of offense. So I was surprised that they passed on him, but I really don't think they had that in mind at that point in the draft. So, you know, it makes sense to go with the left tackle. It's a more immediate need, but I think we will think back on this day and remember that Mac Jones was on the board at 14.
Yeah. And to be fair, you know, if we hadn't got beefed up our line, hopefully serviceable, we use that word a lot, then Mac Jones, we're kind of putting him behind the eight ball anyway, coming in a year or two. If we can't protect, he's not a guy that's that mobile either. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. This is what's fun about the draft. And a lot of people like to speculate, especially when there's not that coming off a week of a game that you can really sink your teeth into, or a matchup coming up. I think this time of year, man, just like in free agency, how did we miss that? How do we, and then a guy gets cut in a year and a half, you know, or someone got a really good value that you could have paid someone. You're like, what the hell? So there's always a lot to talk about. I like the pick. I've definitely seen them a fair amount over the years because they do play my second favorite team, Miami, every year. And they tend to be in some, you know, quality games that you want to watch, some tight games. Virginia Tech, I like how he runs down the field to close, you know, to really demolish some folks. So he's big and quick. And right off the bat, I mean, the second and third largest dudes that we have on our offensive line are these two that we picked up. So clearly, you know, Zimmer made it clear, like, hey, we got to get bigger. Yeah, I understand it's a little tougher. It's going to be a little, but we got to get bigger. And maybe that's why they liked him as well. I think the moving back, though, considering what we got out of it, tells me something that I really like the fact, you know, we're both big on lines, both sides. And this is something we really needed to do along with Wyatt Davis. So I was pretty happy with the move. Like I said, I mean, in 2 years or in a year, we'll see with Cousins what's up with that. And we might as well go right to that, you know, early third, because we did get that from the Jets. He's a guy that has been in a, you know, kind of like two different total systems from great offensive minds, no doubt about it. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people rip Sullivan on the end of Texas Tech, but or Texas A&M, but they were, you know, one of the only squads, especially in the SEC, that actually took it to Bama when they had a lot of talent and almost beat them back-to-back years. Not many people can actually say that. And then to go the complete other way with Jimbo. He had a good, very good last year, that's for sure. But if you're going to draft one here, Aaron, I like the fact that he probably, if he's going to make it, like I said, I think there's a 20% chance at this when a quarterback gets picked here. But I like, you know, he's probably going to need 2 years is my point. You know what I mean? To develop, if he's ever going to develop.
Yeah, I like this pick a lot. I didn't initially. I was a Trask guy.
I was going to say, wait a second. I thought
But
you didn't
then I
like
did a
Cole.
lot of film. Well, I didn't. I rather have Trask. But now I think, you know, a couple of days later and some more film, I'm pretty happy with Mond. I think he's got a chance now. He comes to us from Jimbo Fisher, like you said, who also gave us Christian Ponder. So, you know, they're two different players, but you know, the source is the same as the offense is the same. But I think that Mond played for 4 years. He had an incredible amount of games played at Texas A&M. Now, what I like about him, Chris, is he seems to read, go through his reads very well. His arm is very good. He can throw those frozen ropes for 20, 30 yards. And you know, he seems to have the right kind of makeup as far as competitive, you know, tries to win. He's got a lot of comebacks on his record. He did play well in the SEC, which is obviously not easy to do. As far as how long it will take him, I mean, you say two, I say maybe one. It just depends on how quickly he can learn things and get, you know, acclimated to the offense. But he's got great receivers here. Hopefully that line's improved. You're right, we did get bigger, which we needed. You and I have been saying that for over a year, that in the zone scheme, you're just getting pushed around too much. So I think they tried to remedy that. So that could help Mond as well. I think he does need time. The question is how much time, and I guess that's be entirely up to him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he needs 2 years for a fact. I'm just saying we have a quarterback for 2 years. So it does, at least that allows an extra year for him to develop, is what my point is. It's not a pressure to put him in the very next year. You know, some guys, okay, you're in. Well, actually, maybe this guy might need a second year, and we at least we have that cushion. But I like the pick where it was. Definitely seen him in a lot of games. I've definitely seen the improvement, especially this year.
And you know, taking him in the third round really just takes the pressure off of everybody. It takes the pressure off of Mond, takes the pressure off of Spielman, takes the pressure off of Zimmer, just takes the pressure off. You don't have to a first rounder that's got to get in there right away or prove, you know, to the fans that he's worth a first round pick. So you can just kind of let him chill. And you know, if it's 2 years, Chris, and I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I think that's, you know, if he gets the luxury of 2 years, that's fantastic because you still got 3 years on his contract. But you know, I think you'll know probably in training camp and maybe if not next year's training camp if he's capable of being the guy you think he could be. But like I said, third round, you take a flyer. I love that. I mean, we've been yelling for a credible backup quarterback for a long time. And I think his, you know, his floor is a decent NFL backup. So I think you got what you wanted. I think you got a little competition. We'll see how Kirk handles it. So far, so good. Probably won't be an issue with him, except for maybe you'll see it in his play. But I just think it's nice for everybody to see that maybe you can put another guy in and still keep the offense going as opposed to what Sean Mannion offered.
Well, and even if you can't do the same exact offense, he gives you, especially if we don't have anything on tape of him in the pros anyway, he does give you that he can move more than Cousins, that's for sure. So that's nice too to just spring him in there potentially if he were to get hurt or struggle or whatever, Cousins. And what do you the thing about to me, the narrative with the competition, we finally got competition for Cousins. Well, one, these last 2 years, I don't think he's played bad. So I don't think the competition was even needed. I just, like you said, I wanted a better QB backup. And why not, you know, in the 2 year thing, why not try to take a shot? But the thing is, when Cousins came in the league, he had, and we're going to actually play some audio later. You know, he went against the Heisman, had a great rookie year, that like offensive rookie of the year, RG3 did. So he came into the league having to fight for his spot. So to me, there's no real evidence out there that all of a sudden, well, finally he's going to play like he's finally going to play way better now because. But that kind of goes off. Some people think Kurt's just mediocre. Some think he's okay. Some think he's very good. And then of course some people just think he's trash or whatever. But I like that the pick where it's at. What about that linebacker out of North Kakalaka, the inside linebacker, possible replacement for Wilson this year? And you know he seems like a playmaker.
Yeah, Chaz Surratt. So, just quickly going back to the Cousins thing, I think that people got really annoyed last year in the first six games that there wasn't any viable alternative to Kirk. And I think that's where all this narrative spans from. Now, Chaz Surratt, I got to tell you, I didn't know a lot about him until after the draft when I looked into him. Obviously, it's been said, I guess it is true. He's a converted quarterback, so he's tall. I think that really helps him a lot. I think he's the vein of the kind of linebacker that we're going for now, which is like a rangy, quick coverage linebacker, you know, like a Barr and Kendricks. These guys can cover. They can go up and down the field. They can go side to side. These guys tackle. They hit. So it fits there. Where we picked him, you know, we must have really liked him because I think you could have got him maybe a little bit later. But I think they really did in this draft just get the guys they wanted and get out of there. I think he's got a chance. You've got to deal with Troy Dye, who's already that same type of linebacker, is already in the building. So I think that Chaz Surratt's got a chance to play. Obviously, we need to fill that hole that Wilson left. But these are tall, lanky, long linebackers who can run and cover, and that's just what the Minnesota Vikings draft as far as linebackers are concerned.
Yeah, and either way, special teams, we know we need some improvement there. And why not add depth to, because we kind of assume, you know, Barr's going to be gone. If he does really good, he's probably going to be gone because he'll get a bigger deal. And if he does just okay, he's probably going to be gone. You know what I mean? So the potential for him being gone, I think that's an interesting pick, and I'm willing to give the guy a try, no doubt. And then Wyatt Davis played right guard. We don't know if he's going to be left or right or whatever. He had that knee injury that, you know, made him drop in the draft. But it was a sprain. It wasn't a full-on nine-month procedure type thing. It was just a sprain. And he fought through it all year. And I remember watching game after game with him, and they'd mention it. And I'd be like, you know, he's still playing pretty good. I might be biased because I saw a lot of him in those games, you know, with Ohio State, of course, the last few years. And also, you know, when you mock a guy, you're like, oh, I mocked him a bunch. So, yeah, you know, he just fell to me. I like it, especially where we got him. I mean, bang for your buck to get Wyatt Davis on the inside and Christian Darrisaw. I'm happy being a meat and potatoes guy on the line.
Yeah, you said it all. I can't really add much more to that except for this guy was projected to be a first-round pick until his knee went out on him. So I think you got a great steal where you got him. And let's just hope that he can come in and do what we expect him to do, because that just, you know, improves our line drastically in the places where it needed to be improved. And if him and Darrisaw can work out, that I think we're really – in a position to, at least like we said off the air, Chris, a league average line. And if you can put two rookies in and somehow come away with league average, you're better than you were last year by a long shot. So that's what we're hoping for there with Wyatt Davis. I think it's a great pick.
The road to serviceable, man. It is a long, dusty, rocky, bumpy road for the Minnesota Vikings, especially on the interior. And it is scary because now we got two rookies on. But anyway, obviously, we now move. This is, I think, from Baltimore, that Baltimore maneuver, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Patrick Jones, the second from Pitt. You know, looking at the tape the last 2 years, because I wanted to – when we drafted him, I watched the last 2 years, and the D-tackle, you know, definitely flashed, the one that we got. And also the guy on the other side flashed, too. There was a news flash today, though, that he got in some, well, I should say allegedly might have gotten into a little bit of issue. The Titans in the fourth round pick Rashad Weaver. He's charged, and like I said, allegedly charged with assault for punching a woman. So who knows? Maybe that played into it. That guy flashed the most out of these three, just watching the tape. But I liked what I saw out of Patrick Jones. Why don't we combo both these guys since it's the Pitt squad? You know what I mean? That defensive line. What do you think about these, the D-tackle, pass rusher, three technique, and then Patrick Jones?
Yeah, that's Jalen Twyman. So I've had my eye on these guys, Chris, maybe not as much as you because they play, you know, against Miami and stuff. But that Pitt defense, Damar Hamlin, Paris Ford, Twyman, Jones, linebacker was drafted as well. That was a really good Pitt defense that they come off of. And Jones, you know, seems like a cool dude. He grew up in Japan. He was a military kid. As far as on the field, man, he's exactly what we draft for defensive ends. It's the long, the lean, the quick defensive ends that we like. And, you know, we've got the best guy in Patterson. I mean, I think it's pretty much known around the league that, in fact, I was watching a draft show while I was watching the draft. And the guy said when we drafted Twyman, he's like, well, I wouldn't worry about it except for he's going to Minnesota, so he'll probably turn into something. And that's kind of the league's opinion of what we can do here with defensive linemen and Andre Patterson. And, you know, I think that's a lot. I mean, this guy, what, 10 and a half sacks in 2019. I think Patrick Jones had 9 sacks. So that's 19 college sacks for these guys on a really good defense and a good defensive line. They both have the traits that we like, although Twyman's a little smaller than the other defensive tackles that we have. But so was John Randall. So was some other really great defensive linemen. And that doesn't
mean a lot of pass rushers are, you know.
Yeah. And he just seems to be like I hate to say it because I don't want to say it, but like a high motor guy who just doesn't stop. And he was really, you know, touched to be drafted. And, you know, this guy, again, was mocked at third round guy. So get him in the sixth round. It's unbelievable value there. And I really think that these two guys, I love these Pitt kids. I think these are guys that are going to make this squad and are going to probably get significant time in the 2021 season.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about, you know, Tomlinson and Pierce, and we talked about how it could be a variety of things. Maybe it'll be somebody on the team, and then they do end up, you know, on that three technique that we already have here. Maybe it will be this guy here now, Tynaman. So, but we could also have – we could also move over. We also mentioned Tomlinson over to nose tackle on third downs or passing downs, whatever. And then maybe he will be that guy we need, a guy that can really pass rush. You know, he may be undersized, but that dude is just beefed out at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's undersized, but his arms don't look undersized. And his mentality is definitely not undersized. He definitely, like I was saying, watching Jones, he flashed like crazy 2 years ago. Obviously, he didn't play this year. And that's part of it too, right? He didn't play this year or so because of a COVID opt-out. And that's part of this stuff. I mean, you get it. Some people or some players did really drop based off of that. I mean, obviously size plays into this potentially.
Let's talk about.
Let's combo some guys up.
Well, let's talk, first start off with Kenny not going to play here anyways. From Iowa State, Kenny Nwangwu. Is that how you say that? Kenny Nwangwu or Kine? I don't know. He seems like a really project guy, Chris. And like, I haven't heard anything about him. I didn't see him play at Iowa State. He's got all the traits. He's like 4'3", 6'1", big kid, running back. Is this a special teams guy in the end? I don't know.
They got a stud running back. That's why he's going to be probably a first rounder maybe next year. That's why he didn't play much. But I'm thinking kickoff return, just another guy in there.
And apparently, you know, the running backs coach was adamant about getting this guy. So apparently he thinks he's a piece of clay that he can mold. And then Cameron Bynum, you know, he's a cornerback in college. It's been pretty well said that he's going to be a safety in the NFL, which makes me like the pick a lot more because he got torched at the Senior Bowl as a cornerback every day. So I didn't have a lot of faith in him as a corner, but I think as a safety, he comes from Cal. So he's obviously pretty smart. You can't just get into Cal, and that's part of Cal's problem is that they don't mess around with the entrance requirements for their athletes. So you know he's smart. He can play. He's got the build for a safety. I hope he'll work out. And then we got another end, Chris, and Janarius Robinson out of FSU. And, again, a long, lean guy. What do you got to say about him? I didn't get to see a lot of Janarius. What I did see in highlights, I liked a lot. But, again, those are highlights.
Yeah, it seems like Patterson special. This is the pick that I believe we got from Buffalo in that trade. I think that's all gone now, that whole transaction. So, yeah, it seems like he didn't like I know of him. Some of these guys I just know because of recruiting, seeing the name. Then I just hear the name during a game, that type of thing. But he didn't necessarily just flash like crazy or anything like that. But I'm just thinking that, you know, a potential – you know, Patterson guy, or maybe a blitz specialist, or maybe he's, you know, depth or whatever. I really don't. I can't really go too far on him, to be honest with you. But this Zach Davidson here now. Oh, boy. University of Central Missouri, 168th pick. This guy's 6'6", 245, 4'6", 40-yard dash. He can punt. He's an all-conference punter. The guy averaged 42 yards per punt. I think we got – it's funny, though. He can't block worth a shit, I guess. He's just fast and he can punt.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of mocked him just kind of laughingly because we wanted to put a tight end in the pre-draft show, and this is the guy we picked. And, yeah, I didn't know anything about him, and I still don't. I think they're going to try him at tight end. He's got a lot of physical traits that they like. He's tall and fast. And, you know, Rudolph was a terrible blocker as well. So I think we do have some problems with blocking at the tight end position. But I think we – I don't want to, you know, skip over my favorite pick in this draft.
No, that's why I saved it.
Oh, that's great. Which is fun. So let's talk about this kid
a little bit. He can long snap, too. Don't take that away from Davidson, sure. Okay? He can long snap.
Hey, man, if you can do that, kill three roster spots.
But, dude, exactly that. And imagine the fake punt situation. You line him up at tight end. He sneaks back there. And next thing you know, we're burying him at the inside the five.
That is dynamic. That's what we call that. Dynamic.
He's an elite player. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Governors.
So let's talk about this Iowa kid. Now, I really like Tyler Vaughns. The world knows I like Tyler Vaughns. I think he didn't even get drafted, or maybe in the seventh. But I still love him, and whoever got him I think is going to get a really good player. My second favorite guy to be that third wide receiver for us was a kid out of Iowa, Amir Smith-Marset. Now, his story is that Fleck recruited him hard and just barely lost out to Iowa. So it would have been him and Bateman.
And everything. He literally was a commit. He committed.
Yeah. So imagine Smith, Marset, and Bateman as one and two receivers for that 19 run that we went on. Nonetheless, he went to Iowa, and obviously Iowa doesn't throw the ball the way other teams do. They did a little bit more with Nate Stanley, and Smith, Marset played with Stanley for, you know, a couple of years, but they just didn't use him a lot. But he's got speed. He doesn't really catch well with his hands. I think that's something they'll work on. He's more of a body catcher, but he's fast. I think he fits perfectly into what we're trying to do as far as outside wide receivers. You know, like we talked a little bit about putting Thielen in the slot and maybe allowing him to get a couple more years and how effective he could be in the slot. And I think this guy allows them to do that. Now, I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse here. He's still got to come in and prove it. But him and Jefferson seem to be, if it works out, a very formidable 1-2 punch at wide receiver.
Kickoff return and punt return. He said, I can do either, and I've definitely seen him do it. 29.6 kickoff return average. I'm going to push back, though, a little bit because I thought you were talking about last year with Bateman. But I like, you know, the combo with Johnson was pretty good there in 2019. So I got to push back a little bit on that. But I like this guy, even if he is just a kickoff or punt return specialist. But he comes down with the ball, however it is, like you said, with his body or his hands or whatever. He plays bigger than his size. He definitely makes some catches, not necessarily out on an island, but deep ball, short stuff. I mean, the guy, he brings the ball in. He can adjust. There's a lot of under throws because, like you said, Iowa doesn't necessarily produce the passing quarterback. But I love the way he came back for balls. I love the way he, you know, caught in traffic. I do like this guy. I like this one. I think this one may hit. But either way, kickoff, punt. I mean, we need that too, right?
Yeah, to get him in the fifth round is just, it's showing you how deep these wide receiver drafts are coming. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, they're so deep now with like Shai Smith. And like I said, Tyler Vaughns is a,
you know what it is?
Competent wide receiver.
NFL passing 40 or 50 times a game. Teams.
Yeah, well, they're getting great athletes out there. Like, whoa. So you get a guy like Amir Smith-Marset in the fifth round, pick 157, and wherever Vaughns went, even if he went into UDFA, which we picked up the Prohl kid, who was also mocked to be like a fourth, fifth rounder, and he ended up being a UDFA as well. So there's just so much depth at wide receiver. It almost makes you think now, like, logically, should you take one in the first round? Obviously, there have been great ones that have come out lately with Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, the Alabama kids. Obviously, there's high talent there, but there's also really good talent later in the draft, and this just goes to prove it again.
Yeah, especially if you're like us, where we have our two starters established. I mean, we've been looking for it for a while, and like you said, I mean, we've been third down and long too many times anyway, but to have that third wide receiver, that's a real deal. Not just, well, I can only do this. Maybe we'll get more three wide receiver sets, like you mentioned in our preview show. So overall, go ahead.
Well, just quickly, like, if let's say that everything works out right and our offensive line is league average, and now we have a competent third wide receiver, that just boosts the offense incredibly. As long as you protect Kirk, have another person to draw coverage. I mean, I'm not saying Super Bowl. I'm just saying a lot more yards, a lot more touchdowns, and no more eight men in the box. I mean, that's done.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like a super talented defense that you're just not going to be able to run on. Okay, that happens. We know how that goes, right? Being a Vikings fan, like, nah, you got to try something else. And then Tom Brady and Belichick did and spread us out five wide receivers, and we got a little exploited that season. But, yeah, I feel more comfortable now that we added two guys to the line. And you know, some of this is just – recognizable names too, to be honest. You know, like, oh, I know these guys, so I'm more confident, when it could be a different guy that I'm like, I don't know, it's a wishy-washy. We got two rookies, you know, and so I'm more positive because I've seen these guys play, which could mean completely nothing, to be honest with you. I think one of them will turn out though to be pretty damn good, and we've been saying this now for a while. We have yet to get a rookie step in the first two rounds, step in and play from day one and look the part. We've seen other teams get that in the first two rounds, but we haven't been able to do that. No, O'Neal, I think he started like 9 games. Don't get me wrong, he was really solid, and that's probably what it will do. I mean, you're not going to walk in and start throwing people all, 10 yards down the field, but I think we're going to hit here finally, and we have plenty to say. We've only, in the last 3 years, we've signed one legitimate guard who unfortunately had too many concussions, right? So he's done. He didn't get picked up. He had had, 46 straight starts or whatever. And of course, the streak ended when he became a Viking. But the interior we've talked at length that we're not going to go into. We're not going to go on that long list of guys we've tried there. But I like that we with Cole too, watching those two games against two legit defensive linemen, the left guard potentially, Cole, who, is what, 24, 25? I like the depth there. So I'm actually pretty excited to see what we got. And maybe I doubt it'll all come together next year, maybe down the stretch with these young guys. But moving forward past that year, Aaron, when, you can get another year under your belt and all that, that's where I'm like, okay, maybe if this works out, we didn't need to spend a bunch of money on a guard who maybe will only give us a couple years, maybe in between, who knows. But that'll be decided in the coming years. But just a little improvement, like you said, dude, the road to serviceable.
I mean, look at it, Chris. The linchpin of this draft is Darisaw. If Darisaw hits, the whole draft is worth it. If Darisaw tanks, you still got that big hole at left tackle. And nothing else you do is going to make up for that. So Darisaw has to hit. And if he does, this is a great draft on that alone. And I think he will. Like I said, we're looking for league average here, particularly from a rookie. Just give us league average and we'll be all right. I mean, the other left guard we got, I just don't want to see him this year. And I don't think you do either.
I sure don't. And that is a good point. And wouldn't it be funny if Cleveland was the one that was the left tackle like midseason? Who knows, dude? We play a lot of offensive linemen every year, it seems. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. So we're just going to kind of wrap up the show with a couple of items. I do want to kind of talk about this one. The drama queen Rodgers. Okay, hold on. Now, last year we heard a lot of talk. And then he quieted everybody up saying, oh, no, those are just stories, because we all know picking a first rounder instead of getting something for a team to try to get them over the hump while they got a prime Hall of Famer first ballot. And by the way, went to the conference final, back-to-back conference final years. And Now he's saying, I might just retire. Now, maybe that's a leverage play. He's got 3 years left on his deal. That doesn't help his leverage. A lot of people are talking about Denver and some other places that he may go. But this year, Aaron, you know, there's a lot of little fires, a lot of little, or not fire, but a little smoke here, smoke there. Oh, no, that's not a building on fire. That's just a smokestack, dude. Don't worry about that. But once the cloud of smoke gets bigger and bigger, it legit seems like there's, you know, there's something going on here, obviously. And he hasn't came out this year and said, oh, no. He's saying that I might retire. It's kind of crazy, though. They got a pretty damn good play caller, considering he just took over not long ago. Now, we can talk about the play call at the end of that game in the conference final. That's cool. We can also talk about Rodgers not really going for it all the way into the end zone like he has done before. But that's neither here nor there. But Rodgers, there does – wouldn't that be nice to open up the season without that bastard on the field for the Packers anyway?
Yeah, I love nothing more than Packer tears, but you know, Chris, I just, until it's done, it's not done. Rodgers, like you said, has always kind of been dramatic, and until he's not with the Packers, I'm just not going to believe he's not going to leave the Packers. Now, the only thing that makes me think he might is the way that Denver drafted. I mean, Denver drafted like they were expecting Rodgers, so you know, maybe something will get worked out there. And yes, of course, getting him out of the division is, I can't even imagine it. And to have a Green Bay with maybe not the greatest quarterback in the world for like once since we were, what, 16 or something like that when Brett took over. I mean, it's been, what, almost 30 years of just, you know, franchise quarterbacks for them. Meanwhile, we're having a really hard time finding one. And so, yeah, I mean, part of me says, yeah, he's gone. But I can't go all the way in and say that because, you know, Rodgers just does this stuff, man. He holds grudges. He estranged his family. He, you know, I just don't understand, you know, what, you know, we talked a little bit about maybe it's a power play of some sort, but what could he possibly accomplish? Maybe, you know, he doesn't really want a contract extension. I've heard it's him and Gutekunst, something they don't get along, and whatever it is, I mean, if he goes to Denver and gets him out of, not only out of the division, but out of the conference, I couldn't be happier. I'm a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers, and I'd be even more fan if he wasn't a Packer. I think he's probably the best quarterback in the league right now. Go ahead and send your comments in. But I until he's not a Green Bay Packer to me, unfortunately, he's a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's nice to hear. You know, anytime there can be any kind of drama or we're not looking eye to eye or push comes to shove, we know if you're having some issues, at times that can leak into the huddle, per se, or on the sidelines, like we've seen for years and years, not only on our team, but just in general. I mean, and then that adds to it, like when, you know, you had Moss and Carter talking to Culpepper. All of a sudden, the next week, that's all the media is talking about, and that does tax. It does tax.
Well, here's the worst thing that could happen, man, is let's say he does leave, go to Denver, and then Love starts to light everything up, and again, another franchise quarterback. I mean, then at that point, I'm just done. I'm just done. Because now you're going 45 years of franchise quarterbacks, and it'd be just something that would never end. Now, do I think that's likely to happen? Chris, what do you think? Do you really think we're the favorite in the division at this point if Rodgers leaves the division?
Yeah. If he leaves, I do. I do think so.
My only thing is, like, I think
we're going to have, knock on wood, even if it's 20th ranked goddamn offensive line, whatever, you know, just whatever. Obviously, ranking is a weird thing, but like seeing how some of those games were so close last year with just the worst defense we've had in quite some time, the worst, obviously, under Zimmer. I mean, a couple of those games go a couple different ways, and you know, we're in the playoffs, maybe. Who knows? So, yeah, if Rodgers isn't there, yes, I do think because Detroit, I think, got worse at quarterback. The Bears are still going to figure it out. They're going to be an issue for us defensive tackle wise. And of course the guy that'll come from every angle, hopefully we can double team them a little bit better, but we got to see that. But we've won the division without that before. So I actually, if Rodgers is out, I do think we're a favorite, a slight favorite, but a favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with you. I think Detroit's going to be sneakier than we think. I'm not saying Goff is great, but I think he's adequate enough, and they had a really good draft. I don't want to say that too loudly, but Detroit had a really good draft. And, you know, so do you want to get into maybe some needs of what we still kind of need? You said we had a little bit of money left over.
We got a lot of money. But, yeah, how do you feel about the depth overall and possibly free agent? You know, people are going to get cut here soon by June 1st. Some, you know, you look at rookie camp and they'd be like, oh, we got this guy. Okay, let's cut that guy in. And obviously, just in general, there are a fair amount of free agents out there because of the cap thing this year. Now, that's going to change next year. But the cap tweak that where they kind of left everybody in limbo, definitely. I mean, we've been talking about a lot of different guards and tackles still out there, just in general. So what do you foresee another signing or two of any kind of significance, not just a minor signing, depth wise? How you feeling depth wise on the squad, position wise?
Well, I'll maybe outline some of the spots I think we could maybe improve or kind of fill some holes, and you can maybe throw some names out there if you have them. I mean, I think offensive line went from a capital O to like maybe a lowercase O now. I think you do need a little bit of help there, but it's not, you know, a flashing red alarm sign like it was before the draft. Safety, I think depth, you need at least another one just for depth. Mm-hmm. Defensive tackle, it'd be nice to get a three technique that can kind of play a little bit like Twyman, but also, you know, you kind of want to find a veteran there. I think it wouldn't be a terrible thing to sign one of those if they're out there. And I also think you need a little bit of cornerback depth. We didn't take any in the draft, which is a shocking in itself. But another one, I think another veteran has to be a serviceable cornerback, somebody that can come in and play in a pinch. And I think that's probably what I wrote down for anything like that. I couldn't really see a lot of other things. Now, I don't want to say we're a team without a weakness, but as far as glaring needs for the roster building, that's what I kind of wrote down.
Yeah, I especially safety. I agree with that three technique. Why not get a vet? Because maybe it will take him a year or two. Who knows? Maybe he won't turn out. But either way, it'll take probably a year or two if he's going to be an every down back even, you know, or just maybe a third down specialist. Who knows? But I like that idea of bringing a vet in there, and especially safety. I like that too. Just following up on a segment from a little while ago with Ricky and his seventh rounders. Courtney Cronin wrote an in-depth article on a variety of stuff, and we're kind of glad that he didn't go that route this year. There's plenty of talent in the draft, but the bottom part is not as deep as, say, last year's and maybe next year's. That's what they're saying right now. It's May 3rd, but that's what they're saying. And if you look at some of the positionals, you're like, yeah, I suppose that is pretty. And some people are just staying for the extra year, and it's been a weird COVID year. I mean, some folks that did opt out or even were kind of in between, missed some games and all that, they fell. So some of these guys maybe made the right decision. Bateman, you know, kind of was in and out, and he still got picked high enough. So, but, you know, he did adjust this year, clearly. Ricky did, but she had this stat here. It's kind of interesting just to follow up on the, because we talked about the seventh rounders. You got a good segment on it. So the sixth and seventh round picks Vikings draft since 2012, they played in 158 games. That's the most of any team. But according to games and snaps, those are going to be a little different because of seven special teams. So the sixth and seventh rounders and the special teams, those don't count as snaps. But 17,324 snaps from sixth and seventh rounders is the fourth most behind the Patriots, Steelers, and Eagles. Obviously, Steelers and Patriots have a track record of drafting very well. So that's a little bit of follow-up. Obviously, like, you know, we don't really know where this draft is going to go and whatnot, but there is some rhyme to the reason. You know, no doubt we gave him credit for some stuff, but I'm glad that he didn't just stick to his guns. No team has drafted more players 93 and made more draft day trades, 35, and selected more, 6 and 7s, 41, since 2012. So I do like that they said, all right, dude, you can't do that this year. Or maybe he, you know, made the adjustment. So I think that is a positive as far as money and free agency goes. It's going to take about two. This is according to cap analyst Jason Fitzgerald. 2.77 million cap space to sign all 11 picks. So with that would drop their cap room from 7.6 to 4.83. But that Kyle Rudolph thing, the way we the June 1st release thing, it does free up almost 8 million. So we still have right around 13, maybe 12, 13 million to spend. Obviously, Harrison Smith and Danielle Hunter's extensions will probably play into that, but it also is maybe one of those will be a little bit of that anyway, as far as cap hit, along with Ziggy money. Maybe it's some items that you talked about too in the free agency.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, there's some guys that need to get paid here coming up, and you know, it's nice to have a little extra to maybe satisfy particularly one of them for the season and maybe get a chance to come at him with a little bit more money next year, that guy being Danielle Hunter. Now, we haven't heard anything out of that camp, and so there's nothing to believe except for he'll suit up and play for us. But we did draft an awful lot of defensive ends, too, and we've got a bunch. So I think we said five of them, Chris, that are kind of vying for that other spot. You got Kenny Willekes. Now you got Patrick Jones. You've got the Florida State kid. And you've got Weatherly and Wanham, of course. And Wanham played pretty well last year. So there's five bodies there at that spot. Now, I'm not saying they're contingency plans, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were. Nonetheless, you know what boat we're in. Pay Danielle Hunter. Give him what he needs to get him through this season and then pay him what he wants next year. I don't think it's easy to replace a guy like that. And if you got a little bit of money, maybe throw a little sum his way.
Yeah, and I think they're in that boat, too. It's obviously if he wouldn't have got that neck jammy, and I hate to just say neck jammy because it's serious, but if he wouldn't have, I think we probably would have already done it. But let's I just hit something. I'll let – you know, there's just maybe another item or two, but let's play this audio here from RG3.
RG3 is suddenly busy all of a sudden. Kellen Mond, Robert, what do we think of the player here? And then going to a situation where in training camp, he's going to look more physically impressive than the starter that's standing there at Kirk Cousins. What do we think about the spot for Kellen, too?
Yeah, I could tell you right now, number 8 in Minnesota is probably not real happy right now. Because Kellen Mond represents exactly what he doesn't do well, right? Kellen Mond's the big physical quarterback. He can run it, throw it all over the field. And I don't think that that's something that number 8 is able to do in Cousins in Minnesota. But I think that's what the coaching staff and the administration is looking for. Should I say the organization is looking for. Mond had a lot of inconsistencies in his game. And the biggest thing last year was, like Connor talked about, he actually improved drastically. But some NFL evaluators, looking over the course of all the years of his starts at Texas A&M, they're still a little skeptical about him. But I would tell you this, with great determination and great coaching, I think this is a guy that could be a real riser over the course of his career. And as you see, you know, Cousins has been collecting checks there in Minnesota for a long time, taking them to 8-8, 9-7 seasons. If he has a bad start to the year like he did last year, I could see the fans and maybe the organization leaning towards Mond if he comes in.
There we have it. Your reactions,
shots fired.
Sir. Your reactions, because this one was a fun one on good old Vikings Twitter.
Shots fired, my friend. Look, you and I see this differently. I don't want to get into a big argument about
it. You can
it.
Just say your stuff.
And I'll say we don't have to get argument. You reserve the floor. Yeah, so I agree very much with what RG3 had to say. Not so much on the X's and O's type of thing about big quarterback and sling the ball and all that stuff, because Kirk can throw the ball. There's no doubt about that. But I think what he was kind of, you know, alluding to was kind of Kirk's penchant to find 500 every year and his, you know, seem lack of maybe competitiveness and his, you know, we still haven't figured out what the hell he was grilling on that grill. I've looked at it millions of times and I can't tell what the hell that was, but I'm not going to hold that against him. But nonetheless, I really think that RG3, you know, I'm a chef and I can't tell you what kind of meat that was.
Hey, that's some good detail though. I like that.
So it's sticky because, man, we've got 50% of the people that are Cousins supporters and 50% of the people that
50.
Just,
I don't think
it's just, you know, can't stand him. And to me, I think RG3 hit the nail on the head without actually saying the things that he probably really wanted to say. And everybody seems to think that he's got some axe to grind, and that could be possible, but I just don't see that so far down the line here. I think he's just saying what he wants to say. Kirk is cashing checks, big checks here. We are hovering around 8-8, which is now 9-8 or 8-9.
That's going to be hard to say, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh my God, that's going to be tough. You know, so not screw up with it all year.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to push too hard against Kirk here because we got, you know, love him or hate him, he's here for at least another year. And you got to get behind the squad, so you got to get behind Kirk, you know. And so I really think if RG3 did nothing else, hopefully he lit some kind of fire in Kirk, if that's even possible.
Yeah, because he came off such a horrible season, you know. This one, it's nothing new, though. It's nothing new. How many times have we seen his record get posted on every primetime game, every Monday night game, every time on ESPN? That's what they – not every time, but pretty much every time. That's not new information. We all pretty much know his record. So, to me, I think that's where it comes from. Well, I mean, first of all, he's a bigger quarterback. 6'3", 210 is not a big quarterback. He's bigger, right? Like you said, he can throw the ball around. He's got one of the best arms in the whole league. So we could put that to the side. But to be honest with you, it's nothing new. Everybody, not everybody, but most people say that about him. And we can have a debate. So was this year his fault when we were 7-9? Do we just throw out the year before that? Let's go back to the 8-8 the first year. There's a lot of discussion. We're not going to go that way. But to me, this one gets chalked up in people that are not pro Cousins love this comment, but this is nothing new. This kind of goes back to reading Diggs' tweets and finding something out and going with it. And then, we find out Diggs says something else. Zimmer on the sidelines saying we're going to cut him. Everyone became professional lip readers. To me, this is probably the most basic thing that's always said. So I didn't see anything new in it, to be honest with you. That's why it was kind of funny. Like, so you needed RG3 to be like, yeah, that. Well, we already know his record. So I thought it was kind of just funky that way.
Well, I just think someone needed to say those things.
Everybody publicly says it, though, Aaron. What do you mean someone? Who? What do you mean someone? That's what they talk about almost every game with him.
From what I've heard, that's probably the most pointed attack. I won't say attack because I don't think – well, I mean, you could call it an attack, but it's definitely shots fired.
Have you been watching ESPN at all, dude?
I have, but I'm not –
Deion said worse than him. To Jefferson right there. Like,
but I think the credibility of, like – talking head at ESPN as opposed to a guy who also played in the NFL. I think it's a little bit more credible. Now, like I said, people already have dug in their heels on where they stand on Kirk. And you and I have dug in our heels on where we stand on Kirk. But that doesn't change the fact that for 2021 season, Kirk is the starting quarterback. Hopefully we got the offensive line dealt with. Maybe a third wide receiver, which can only help Kirk. And I guess this is the season. If that line works out, it's put up or shut up. We're going to find out what Kirk is.
Next 2 years, really, I think, because we can't ask two rookies to just be studs. Although, God, I hope they're serviceable.
Well, that's wishful thinking on my part.
Right. yeah. So anything else, sir, before we shut this in-depth post-draft show down?
Well, let's just keep ourselves in perspective here. We got some good players, we think. Like I said before the show, you can get three starters and a couple guys on your roster off this draft. It was a good draft. Now, which guys those are going to be, like I said, it has to be Darisaw. He has to pan out here for this draft to work at all. Now, you could get some other guys that pan out, but the most important piece here is Darisaw. And, let's hope that works out. And I think he's got a good chance of working out. So I thought it was a pretty good draft. I don't want to put a grade on it. Maybe in 2024, I'll put a grade on it or something. But I thought for what happened and maybe the change in draft philosophy out of Spielman, whether that was from the Wilfs or, you know, he took this on himself or Zimmer or whoever it was, I think the lack of seven rounders.
Don't pick up the phone.
Yeah, I think the lack of seventh rounders was a nice surprise. Although I really thought Rick was going to come back up in the seventh. I watched the seventh thinking he was going to come back up, but he didn't. We got some good UDFAs. So, I mean, I don't want to predict anything for the season. Let's just hope some of these guys work out. We need some guys now. And like I said, the Cousins thing will work itself out. We'll finally get some closure on that, hopefully. And let's just hope that the offensive line can become league average.
I think we already know what Cousins is. He's been here 3 years, and I think just people have different opinions on it. And sometimes it can be right after the game or during the game. Sometimes it could be knee-jerk. Sometimes it could be someone happy with their fantasy stats. You know, there's a lot that goes into this. But, yes, and by the way, we're going to get back for probably two more shows of Timberwolves basketball. Go figure. We do two Vikings game, and they go on a long winning streak, long for us anyway, longest since 2017-18, that's for sure, in that playoff year. So we're going to get back and do two different Timberwolves, one more, you know, next week, and then another one to kind of wrap it up, because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. But who knows? You never know. No, we do know that. So we're going to do that. And then just a reminder, Vikings fans, we're going to do at least one. We're going to do two. We're going to do two more of those classic shows, the rewinds. We got one for Denny Green. We got one for Chris Carter. And then we'll probably do one kind of on the end of the summer, kind of to warm up for the season as well. So look out for those. We'll definitely be back next week talking Timberwolves. Peace out.